Chapter 16. The conversation with Safi had started much as Nia expected, and it wasn't long before Safi was asking her about Ruby.
Dad tells me you found a dead body on the beach. I can't believe you've gone to some tiny little island, cut off from everything, and this has happened to you.
It was all very sad, actually.
Yes, Dad said you'd spoken to her, knew her a bit.
The night before she died, we had a long talk. I may have been the last person to speak to her.
Oh, Mum, that is sad. Dad didn't say. What happened?
Safi seemed to have an endless list of questions. In fact, Nia started to wonder about the level of her concern.
You are not to worry about this, she said. It's tragic, but, you know, these things happen. The police are being very thorough. I know, but I do worry. You shouldn't be going down there on your own.
I am careful, love. It's a very small beach, and easy to get off if I see anyone I don't like the look of. It's very quiet here at night.
Good. Dad said you'd been worried about some kind of muddle with the candles, that the one the next day was a different colour from the one the night before.
Yes, I'm just not sure. You know how tired I've been. She gave a hard laugh.
I felt I was going mad at times, getting things wrong, making mistakes.
Safi didn't smile.
Did you really think that? Is that the reason you gave up your job? I never understood. You loved it so much.
It is. I didn't want to worry you. It's not like there was anything physically wrong with me. I thought maybe I was just tired.
Do you feel better now?
A bit, yes, thank you. But I'm still confused, I have to admit. It's made it difficult for me to trust myself. She paused. But I'm sorry, you don't need to worry about any of this.
But I do, Mum, and I've been wondering if there was something I should have told you. I've been trying to hold back, but I don't know, it might be better if you knew. At least you'd know you'd not been imagining everything.
Nia frowned.
What are you talking about? You know you can tell me anything.
Well, I remember how upset you were when we came back from our weekend in London. Nia glanced at Safi. She'd not realised she'd picked up on any of that.
I could hear things, Mum. I heard what you both said. You were convinced, weren't you, that someone had been there while we were away. You said the duvet had been changed and things moved in the kitchen. Dad said you were imagining things and you got very upset.
Nia went cold. Safi had heard everything.
The thing is, said Safi, clearly picking her words carefully, I know Dad was lying.
Nia could feel her heart miss a beat. Her chest felt on fire.
How could you know that?
Because I asked Colin down the road if he'd seen Miss Gray's car at ours, and he had. It had been left opposite our house overnight. Everyone knows her car. It's a stupid bright red thing with a butterfly on the side. The thing is, Mum, I'd already been told by people in school Dad and Miss Gray were having an affair. When I heard you two arguing, I guessed he was lying, and I hated hearing you so confused.
How long had you known about Dad and Miss Gray?
Back at Christmas time, remember he had that new watch? I was shocked that the kids had given Dad something as posh as that, and I asked someone who was still doing drama at school if they'd given the present to Dad. She said no way, and then told me the story that was going around.
And that was? Well, this girl saw Dad and Miss Gray in the room at the back of the hall after school, just before they broke up for Christmas. They'd gone in to look for a jumper they'd lost. Everyone else had gone home. They saw Dad and Miss Gray open a posh red box together, and there were two watches. They had one each, and then, well, then they kissed.
Nia was shaking.
Are you sure? How could they have seen all this without being noticed?
You know how it is in the hall. If you stand on the stage, you can look through a window at the back and into the room. This person heard voices and peeked in, and, well, kept watching. Apparently, rumours had been going round about Dad and Miss Gray for weeks.
Nia clutched her stomach. So she'd been right, and Safi had known all this time. Why on earth didn't you say something, love? I didn't want to. I kept waiting for it to blow over. I didn't want you to split up.
To Nia's horror, Safi began to cry.
You won't tell Dad I told you, will you? She pleaded. I've not said anything to him, but I'm sure it was nothing, just a fling.
Nia was stunned. Chris had been lying all this time. Nia took a deep breath. Lovely, this is not your problem, and I won't tell Dad you told me anything. Thank you for being honest with me. I really needed to know this.
What are you going to do? Please don't leave him, Mum.
I need time to think, but you are not to worry, and I will not mention you when I do get around to talking to him about it. They finished the call. Nia sat there, shocked, and then the tears began to fall. She hugged a cushion, rocked herself as she felt her heart slowly break, shards of glass tearing it apart. She'd been right, but there was no comfort in that. Chris had been and was still having an affair. There was another woman who he shared his life with, slept with, loved maybe even more than Nia. He certainly was more honest with her, because for months now he had been lying to Nia. And more than that, he'd let her think she was going mad. He'd encouraged her to go to the doctor, give up a job she loved. How could he have treated her like that? Nia remembered Ruby's words. Finding out someone you trusted with your soul has betrayed you just kills you. She was right. At that moment, Nia's world collapsed, and all sense of who she was shattered into a million pieces. Nia eventually forced herself to get up from the sofa and let Romeo out into the garden. She stood, numbly watching him sniffing around. But as she breathed in, it was as if she'd lost all her senses. There was no smell, no touch, no light, only darkness. Eventually, they went back inside and went upstairs. Nia closed the curtains tight and climbed onto her bed, too exhausted to get undressed. Instead, she curled up tight in a ball and cuddled her pillow. Romeo, despite never before having been allowed on her bed, curled up next to her and, exhausted, she fell asleep. Nia woke bleary-eyed, her head thumping the next morning. She was surprised to find she'd slept at all, but it had helped. And she sat up and saw the light creeping around the edges of the curtains, trying to make its way in. Despite the shattering events of the night before, the sun had risen on a new day. Romeo looked up at her and she stroked his head. "We've another day before us," she said to him. "But it's not the same now, is it? Nothing is going to ever be the same again." She got up, showered and dressed. A text came from Chris, hoping she had a good day. There were so many things she wanted to say back, but she also wanted to keep her promise to Safi. In the end, she simply replied in a similar manner and left it at that. After she sent it, she was quite relieved. If she spoke to Chris, she knew he would simply try to deny everything, even find a way of explaining things away. She was too vulnerable for that. She wanted it to be true too much. No, it was better to wait. She had a few friends back in Cardiff who she could talk to, but she didn't really feel like talking to anyone yet. The hurt, the betrayal, was so deep that she didn't quite have the words to talk about it. Sadly, the only person she could have imagined talking to was Ruby, and of course that was not possible anymore. Realising she had the morning to herself, Nia decided to take Romeo over to Compton. As she climbed down the steps, she noticed a few more dog walkers in the direction she was heading. "It's getting busier here," she said to Romeo, but at the same time realised that compared to many beaches, it was practically deserted. Romeo was very confident now, and they both headed down the beach to the sea. The vista before her seemed endless and stunningly beautiful, with the sun shining on the white cliffs to her right. The sea glinted invitingly, although she assumed it would be really cold once in. However, she thought of Jade swimming and was tempted to ask her about joining her. Nia looked out to sea, felt the fingers of the breeze on her cheeks as nature reached out to her, as if recognising her pain and wanting to soothe her. Slowly, she started to whisper to the sea questions she dare not say out loud. Once she started, the list of agonising questions seemed endless.
How did he feel when he was kissing her? Does he love her more than me? Does he ever feel guilty? Why hasn't he left me yet? Why is he pretending? Why let me think I was going mad? Who else knows? Why didn't anyone tell me? She walked along the shore with Romeo, and slowly the questions ebbed away. Soon she would ask Chris some of those things. Soon the whole thing would have to be faced. However, the one thing she did have was time. Time to think. Time to adjust. And in a way, being in a position where Chris had no idea what she knew made her feel stronger. For the first time in this whole mess, she was in control. Nia returned to the close, calmer, resolved to get on with her life here for now. She changed for work and went to the salon, and actually enjoyed the distraction the clients provided. At the end of the afternoon, she was close to telling Jade about what had happened, but somehow she wanted to leave it outside her world in here. The next day was Saturday. That evening would be Elvira's hen party. Part of Nia felt she should be cancelling everything, but on the other hand, sitting in the house would do her no good either. She decided to go into town and buy some work clothes. However, before she left, a postcard arrived from Safi. The card had clearly been posted before their phone call. As they both loved paintings, Safi had been sending her beautiful postcards from all the museums she visited, but this was the first card to come here. The picture was of two women in Victorian white dresses standing by the shore. The painter had captured the warmth of the sun shining on the women. It was magical. Nia turned the card and read her daughter's message. "I love this. Hint for my birthday. All fine, still have enough money. Eating loads of pasta. Put on loads of weight. Loads of love, Safi. Kiss, kiss." It was the work of a Spanish painter, Joaquín Sorolla. A few years ago, they had managed to buy an original work of an up-and-coming Welsh painter for Safi online. Nia looked again at the postcard. If only she could afford this kind of work for Safi, but she'd have to settle for a print. Nia showed the picture to Romeo. "I don't think you and I look quite that serene on Yarmouth Beach, do you?" she said, laughing. The card reminded her that she still hadn't visited Richie's gallery, and she decided that she must visit soon. She propped the card up on the shelf, left the house, and drove into Newport. There was a fair range of shops still, although, like many town centres, there was a large number of mobile phone and charity shops. However, she did manage to find the casual shoes and even bought some slightly comfier trousers. Mom jeans, as Safi called them. They were the kind of clothes Chris would hate, but she certainly didn't care about that today. She also remembered to buy a swimming costume. She had no idea if she would use it, but maybe she'd go one morning with Jade. Nia enjoyed walking around the town. She went into the art centre for coffee, walked along the river a short way, saw the court buildings and the town hall. It was as she was exploring a side street that she spotted Elvira. Nia would have called out, but there was something in Elvira's manner that stopped her. Without looking around, Elvira dived into a small shop. Curious, Nia walked towards the shop and saw it was a kind of pawn shop. Nia walked quickly away. It was getting late, and so she decided to head back to Yarmouth. Before going into the house, however, she decided this might be as good a time as any to visit Richie's gallery. She walked up the road, imagining walking around, looking at a few pictures, maybe chatting to Richie to find out a bit more about him. What she'd not anticipated was that the discovery she was about to make would be pivotal to her investigation into Ruby's death.